Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Robert, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Nice haircut.
Thank you. Nice hat.
Thank you. The same hat I always wear to hide the fact that I haven't had a haircut.
And a happy 420 to you, Rich.
And a happy 420 to you, my friend. 420, which is obviously you being a big drug guy, is a celebration of marijuana. It's also, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a birthday involved on today, huh?
That's true. It's Ruth Connell's birthday. It's Chris Schmelke, photographer for Creation. It's his birthday.
And Chris the Schmelk Schmelke.
One we'd like to forget, Adolf Hitler was born on this day. And Ruth always likes to mention that to people when she says her birthday's on 420. And now we've lost all of our listeners. So
and Hitler. Yeah. They're laughing their way to work this morning as they hear about that. No, it's a happy birthday to our dear friend, Ruth Connell, our dear friend, Chris Schmelke, and our dear friend, or Rob's dear friend, marijuana.
Yeah. I'm not the only one. I love that you, like, you know, Rich, they did legalize it in the
I know, but I know, and I know that it makes my bit defunct, but the whole, like, you travel the globe with drugs up your beehole is just solid. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to let that go yet. I'm not there. This is for me.
Yes. Although these days I travel with it in my backpack. I don't have to put it in my beehole anymore because it's
I thought that's
legal.
What you called your beehole. My backpack. listen, everybody. Season 3 of Supernatural happened. It happened.
We finished.
We watched it.
Yeah, I have to say, it really took me by surprise this season. I was expecting, you know, I knew it was a shorter season. I really thought it was going to be a yawn fest.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. Going into season 3, I was like, well, this is a write-off season just to get us to Misha in season 4, you know? And it's not true. It was a fantastic season with lots of epic episodes. And it ended on such a cliffhanger. I got news for you. Dean is dead. We were kidding about it. We were saying, oh, yeah, well, the show's over after this. No, egg on our face, because Dean is actually dead now.
I know. It's really freaky. We were wrong. We just assumed he'd come bouncing back in the season finale and be like, rah. But he didn't.
No.
He did not bounce back. He went ahead and went kaput.
He went ahead and died. He wakes up with chains. I don't know if you noticed there was like a hook through his shoulder. He's in a bad way. He's in hell. Yeah.
He's in hell.
And I see a lot of people on our chat going, spoiler alert, but if you're listening to this and you're just watching along with us, you should have gotten there by now.
Yeah, and by the way, anybody who's saying spoiler alert on a rewatch podcast, that's on you. Catch up. We're doing this. No one's waited longer to watch the show than we have. If you're behind us, I feel bad for you. Listen, let's get into it, Robbie. Let's break down season 3 of Supernatural.
Yes, and you know, before we do, we should clarify that we are live streaming this on Patreon. So that's I'm talking about people in the chat room. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's not some bizarre room that Rob has in his house where people are chatting.
Although we've got that too. If you haven't yet, please consider supporting the podcast by joining Patreon. We'll be doing a Q&A of this episode with questions from the chat room afterwards, and you know, we do this a lot.
Yeah, we do this periodically, and it's quite fun, and we love having these folks involved. Love to have you involved, people out there who aren't involved yet, so come get involved.
Yeah. Okay, so, Richard, we're talking about season 3. We're going through the greatest hits. You want to go ahead and pick out some of your favorite moments? I mean,
this is going to be the challenge, right? What we really have to do in this conversation is figure out our favorite episode.
Yeah.
Favorite 3. And yeah. And just so you know, the our marching orders are, it's not about my favorite or right. Rob's favorite.
Right.
It has to be our favorite.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know I mean? Know. We got to come together in agreement about something, which is not easy.
No, not easy. So what I think we should do, Rob, because we both have no short-term memory,
yeah.
is to go through and just remind ourselves about each episode and just sort of like go recap it like briefly, one sentence. That way we're back on the same page. We're dialed in.
I like
you
that.
Ready?
I like the way you're thinking here.
Yeah, because right now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking what I'm thinking. You're looking at these titles and going, what the hell was Ooh. That? I have no idea.
Yeah.
So, Magnificent Seven.
301, Magnificent Seven. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when, after the gate had been opened and everybody's flying around. No, wait, that's wrong.
Yeah.
What's that one about?
Yeah, demons from the opening of the Devil's Gate. People are flying okay. around.
Running around, doing yeah. crazy crap.
Yeah.
Not really coming to me, but yeah, I'm sure
no,
it was great.
No, hey, but honestly, I think we've got our answer in that, so that's not, it's not in the running for best of season three.
No, not in the running.
It was sort of a gateway, so to speak, of getting into the season. But then we had 302, The Kids Are All Right.
The kids are all right, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was directed by Phil Segrecia, The Changelings in Suburbia. You had Little Dean. Remember Young Dean?
Oh, yeah. Where he figured out that the kids were changelings. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one. And great.
And that's where Dean ran into his ex-girlfriend. Cindy Samson was the actress, right? And then
there you go.
Realized, you know.
You get
that,
it.
That might be his son.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes, that's right. That's right.
I remember that episode.
Yeah.
Now I'm remembering right. that one.
Yeah. Remember there was going to be a show on CBS called The Rememberer? No, there was a pilot for CBS and they ended up changing the name, but the pilot was called The Rememberer.
Rememberer.
The Rememberer. All right. Episode 303 was Bad Day at Black Rock. We had Robert Ulrich on the episode, the casting director. And that was the one with the rabbit's foot, Rich.
That's the one that brought in Bella, right?
That's when they brought in Bella and the rabbit's foot.
Right. That was one that had a little comedy going.
Had some comedy. Had some yeah. comedy.
Yeah. Pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
304, Sin City. Okay, so that was Vegas, or not Vegas, but like that town where people were doing bad things, and that bar was sort of the main set.
Right, right. And the bartender took Dean back to her lair.
Right. He had that whole standoff with that bartender.
And it turns out the priest is the demon.
Okay, so remember that one.
And then we had 305 Bedtime Stories. We're getting good now. The season's really warming up, and it was murders based on fairy tales.
Right, fairy tales. Yes, murders based on them. And also because a kid was in a coma, right? It was, and she was the one causing them because she was still like a little kid in her head. And dad was reading the
Yes, yeah, we like that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on, I gotta make a note. That was a good one. I like that
okay.
one.
Okay, right. So that's getting a note. That was good. We got a note for bedtime stories. Note for All bedtime right. stories. All right.
Right.
Episode 306, Red Sky at Morning.
Red Sky at Morning. That's ghost ships. That's the ghost ship one. Yeah, it's that ain't gonna make the cut.
That's not gonna make the cut. It's gonna make the other side of the cut. The what do they call it when they have the Oscars and then they have the
Razzies?
The Razzies. That's going to make the Razzie list. And we had poor Elena Huffman on as the guest that one. And she was like, this wasn't great. It was like one of the only episodes where you're like, yeah, that didn't really work. But hey, we had Dean into Tux. We had Dean into Tuxedo. And that's always
Oh, man, we sure did, didn't we?
Boy.
I mean, sure. All right. Now we have 307, Fresh Blood.
Fresh Blood. Vampires.
Oh, Gordon was in that. That's a good one.
It's a good one.
Mark, is that the Gordon, like, night vision, Gordon becomes a vampire?
Yeah, and at the end, there's that really gory scene where he kills Gordon.
Yeah, he beheads him, right?
Yeah, write that down.
That one's good. I'm writing that down. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And then we have a Very Supernatural Christmas. That's also an outstanding episode.
Epic. Pagan gods eating people.
Wow, you're right. There's a good run here in the middle.
Yeah, flashback to 1991 Christmas.
Yeah.
That was deep.
Yeah, man.
And then we had your favorite title of the year. You go ahead and say it. Episode 309.
Malleus Maleficarum.
Which is what you were going to name your firstborn until the machete said no.
Machete said no to machete said meh to Malleus Maleficarum.
Witches
in Suburbia.
Suburbia, yeah. That had some fun moments with the witches. Then, of course, we had 310, Dream, A Little Dream of Me, Dreamwalking. Dean gets a vision of himself.
Oh, that's a Jim Beavers episode, right?
Yeah, what happens?
Jim's stuck in a nightmare.
That was a good one. That was a good one. And then Dean had to go dreamwalking. And then Sam is dreamwalking at the end. And he kills the dreamwalker guy, that little punk that lived in the forest. And then
showed him his dad. Yeah.
And then there's episode 311, which is very forgettable. It's called Mystery Spot.
No.
And then there was 312.
312.
311, Mystery Spot with our very own Richard Spade Jr. It's Tuesday every day. It's the
Pig and a Poke one. Yeah. And I remember
Groundhog Day episode. Great episode. Come on, you got to write that down.
Yeah, we'll write that down.
Just in keeping with you like every episode you're in as the best one of the season.
That's true. But I do that out of regardless of whether I actually like it or not, just because I'm supporting myself.
Which means in season five, when you and I both have an episode, we've already got two of our top three.
Exactly. We're done.
So Mystery Spot was great. Great, really fun episode. God, we're really rolling again. We got episode 312, Justin Bello, Demons in the Police Station.
Oh, that was one with Peter DeLuise.
Yes. And lots of people. A bit huge guest cast.
Yeah, Charles Malik Whitfield. It's a good one.
Amy Garcia.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And so mark that down for me. So far for me, in the Rob list, I've got Mystery Spot and J.I.B.
Okay.
I'm really surprised you've gone cold on Mystery Spot in your old age.
No, it's not that I've gone cold on it. I just, full disclosure, I didn't watch it. We reviewed it. I don't really remember it.
Wow.
It was funny is I thought, I shot this. I'll remember everything. And in the middle of the review, I was like, what the hell? This all happened in this episode?
I know.
And I realized I hadn't watched it since before Fletcher was born. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, no wonder I have no idea what's going on here.
Well, you should give it a rewatch. You know, this is a rewatch podcast. So even if you've seen it, you rewatch it.
I know, but I don't know if you felt that way, but I felt like, oh, I've read the script multiple times. I acted in it. It's all still up there. It's not still up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I noticed that with you sometimes with the episodes that you've pre-watched. You're like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, wow, wasn't that shot right at the beginning of
I've watched. Oh, that's not true. Yeah, I've literally watched every single one except for the one I was in. I literally watched all of them because I haven't seen any of them.
Flash forward to 401. We've already recorded our episode of 401, and you didn't rewatch that because you'd seen it. You had to watch that one when you directed.
401? Of course. That's a big deal.
Yeah, but did you rewatch it?
Yes.
I thought you said that you already pre-watched it. It's fine. For whatever.
No, dude. I can't. You're out of your mind. If I leaned on that, I wouldn't remember anything. Okay. I don't remember the ones I'm in.
All right. Out of my mind is a strong words to use, but okay.
You have lost it.
Episode 313, The Return of the Ghostfacers. I mean, another classic episode. I'm really on a roll now. This is where this season
three. And that one is technically so interesting and unique.
So unique. And this is really where season three was like, fuck you. I'm season three. You know what I mean? I may be small. Yes. I may be the smallest of all the seasons, but I'm mighty.
Yeah, exactly.
It's season
Mark
three.
Mark Wahlberg of seasons.
Yeah, I was going to say season three is the me of Supernatural, but yes.
Sure.
And then we have 314, Rich.
A reference that means nothing to anybody under 30, long distance call.
That's right.
What did we decide that was about?
It's the dead people making phone calls. It's people getting phone calls from people, you know.
Like, right. So that critter with the big teeth can eat them.
Right. Tommy, it's your mother. Mommy? That kind of thing.
Right.
Spooky.
Yep.
Gotcha. And then Time is on My Side, 315. That's with the Frankenstein bad guy, the old doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Who keeps himself alive by cutting out body parts and installing them in himself.
They were gonna scoop out Sam's eyeball with a double-sided melon baller.
Yeah, that was in the... Yeah. That was one of the happier scenes.
Right.
Where everybody was rooting for the melon baller.
And then... No Rest for the Wicked. What happened in that?
That was the season finale where...
Oh, Dean dies.
Dean dies, man.
But what else happens?
Lilith. That creepy kid Lilith. And they go to the small town where creepy kid Lilith is keeping the family hostage.
Oh, yeah. Daddy, you're not nice. That little... Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. Real creepy.
Yeah. That's going to be up there for me as one of the best. It was a cool plot with the little girl, the Twilight Zone reference. And then plus you have Dean dying, which is like the ultimate. It's the biggest cliffhanger we've had yet.
Okay, let me look at this. We have not done ourselves any favors, I'll tell you that right now, because we have a pretty significant list here. I just made a note. So here's the notes I made. I don't know if you make corresponding notes here in your stupid notebook, but here we go.
Okay, I got my notes. I've already got my top three, to be honest.
Oh, you do? Okay, well, I'm just going to tell you the ones that we kind of were, that I was jotting down as we talked.
Okay.
Bedtime Stories, to recap that is the doctor dad's daughter's in a coma, and she's doing these stories, and they're kind of coming to life, right?
Yeah.
Real creepy. Also, sad little story, the father and daughter.
Someone said that you on our podcast, you did not like Bedtime Stories. This is what I'm hearing from the Patreon group.
I think I found it on the somewhere between silly and serious. I don't think I loved it, but I remember thinking the father-daughter part was cool.
Thought it was super silliest.
Fresh Blood, Gordon turning into a vampire.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one, man. A Very Supernatural Christmas, super clever, super gross.
Super clever and gross.
Mystery Spot, obviously a bit of a classic. Uh-huh. I know I'm involved in it, but people tend to like that one.
Uh-huh.
That's a good one.
Uh-huh.
Justin Bello, which I had forgotten what that was.
Yeah, Justin Bello, which is the one that the whole thing takes place inside the police station.
Right, that's the...
Amy Garcia.
Amy Garcia.
Peter DeLuise.
DeLuise, okay.
Zombies.
That's a trippy one because the Justin Bello title is meaningless to me. I never know what the hell it means.
You know what?
It just makes me think what it makes you think, which is conventions in Rome.
Yeah, convention in Rome. Yeah, but the rule book says don't judge an episode by its title.
Okay. Ghostfacers, the return of Ghostfacers with the very unique style of the episode.
Yes.
Very cool. And No Rest for the Wicked, the season finale with the little girl who's so awesome and creepy.
Creepy little girl keeping the family hostage and Dean dying.
Okay, so I'm scratching through Bedtime Stories. We know that's not one of them. So now we're down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six ones that you and I both agree are really good. Which, by the way, that's impressive out of a 16-episode season.
Impressive.
We'll be right back.
You can sense it calling out to you.
New reality seeks you.
Join the journey to save Anomaly.
Place where sound is magic. The only way to enter the world is by looking inward.
Along the way, you'll learn potions, chants, and enchantments that will help you both in that reality and yours.
So, answer the call and let your campaign begin.
Featuring the voices of Ruth Conroll from Supernatural and Dead Boy Detectives.
There are ordeals ahead, yet with guidance, you will face them head on without fear.
Todd Stashwick from Star Trek Picard and 12 Monkeys.
When the time arrives, wherever your journey takes you, be there with no attachments.
And R&B singer N.C. Gray.
There are worlds, realms, dimensions, and realities beyond yours.
Anomaly is a role-playing meditation podcast that takes you into a world of magic and fantasy. You'll be invited to imagine yourself in scenarios such as learning to cast a tranquility spell or exploring a land vanquished by a dragon, but all connected by a shared mythology. The goal of guided fantasy role-playing meditations are to help you cultivate a sense of wonder, curiosity, balance, and joy in your inner world. Role-playing meditation is a form of escapism and relaxation, as well as a creative outlet for the imagination. The first campaign is an introduction to the world of Anomaly, its lands, magic, and secrets. In the 8 chapters, you'll stretch your imagination, learn to center yourself, offer forgiveness, find confidence, relieve stress, and stop racing thoughts. Your true self will emerge, allowing you to manage your goals and dreams without confusion, distrust, or self-doubt. You can find it on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Or visit seekanomaly.com to learn more. Anomaly spelled with an I-E, not a Y.
Seek Anomaly. Hear its magic.
Thanks for listening. Now, back to the episode.
I'm going to give you my votes for the top three, and you could tell me if you really disagree.
Okay, I'm not going to change. I have literally marked what I think my top three are. Okay. I promise you, on a stack of Bibles up to my waist.
I don't believe you.
I'm not going to change.
Okay.
So if I agree or disagree, I'll know. Like, if you get three and it's my three, we're done. We're walking away.
We're walking away. End of episode.
Right. And to wrap it up, roll credits. But if I have three different ones, then here we are. You know what I mean? We have to get into it.
If we disagree, you're going to get in your car, drive three blocks, and we're going to duke it out.
We're going to duke it out. Old school. Here we go. Here we go. Robbie Benedict naming his top three. This does not count as our official answer, by the way, because at the end of the day, the three we turn over to you people that go in the vault to be kept for all time have to be ones we agree on. So this is just the first step in that process. Rob Benedict naming his favorite three episodes from Supernatural Season 3. Robert?
Let me preface by saying this is the hardest part of our job. We don't love this. We don't like picking favorites. You know what I mean?
Nope.
It's like picking your favorite kits, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm saying this, but every episode really turned in a great, solid effort.
Yep.
My first pick is Mystery Spot. Mystery Spot because we have our very own Richard Spade Jr. is back. And I'm a sucker for Groundhog Day plots.
Right.
It's not just Groundhog Day, but any TV show or movie that has like someone who has to relive a day. I'm kind of a sucker for that.
Okay.
And there was very clever things that happened throughout, like, you know, the piano falling. That's where he kept dying in those really funny ways.
Yeah.
The bad.
It was very clever.
Bad sandwich. Yeah.
And and also we can't escape the fact that it's got Kim Manners all over it.
That's
you know?
Yeah. Justin Bello is my second pick. I just remember as a podcast really loving that episode and really geeking out about it. I love that it all took place at one location. There's something almost kind of cozy about that. People, even though they're like in peril and there are people trying to get in from outside, but they're forming these bonds inside the station there. Great guest cast. And then my last of the three is No Rest for the Wicked, the season finale, when I just could not, it just blew my mind that after all the lead up of Dean's going to die, Dean actually died.
Wow. So, dude, this is astonishing.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if this is mathematically ever going to happen again. Mm. We have six choices.
Okay.
We narrowed it down to six. We have to agree on three. You gave me your three. Mine are the other three.
No way.
I kid you not. Literally, completely Wait. The other three.
Okay, so let's see. Let's hear what you've got.
Fresh Blood, the character of Gordon and that standoff, and then Gordon become a vampire, I thought was some of the most dramatic. It felt like a feature film to me. I felt like Sterling K. Brown is so good. Mm-hmm. He comes in there and just like takes on the show, takes on Sam as a character. He is so good. I think Gordon is such a morally interesting and complex character on paper. And Sterling K. Brown elevates that character even further with his amazing talent.
He really does, because Sterling K. Brown is now known for his role on that TV show where he's a sweetheart. He's just like, he's like the father on that. You know,
The Last of Us. No, the Both of Us. This is The Last of Us.
This is us. No. This is us. This is The Last of Us. It's about a family through three generations who all turn into zombies.
Eaten by fungus. He's an amazing actor. And then I think when he deals with when he becomes a thing that he hates, when he becomes a thing that he has hunted and then tries to use those powers to at least, at very least, finish what he started in taking out Sam Winchester, I just thought it's like a feature. So that's Fresh Blood to me. Then I have A Very Supernatural Christmas just for the pure fun and edgy, crazy style of it.
Walk me through what happened in that again.
Remember, it's their very special. It's a creepy Santa dressed in bloody boots and stuff, and then they drag people down in that old leather bag, and then they have the wreath that's got that special sort of plant in it. Spencer Garrett and Mom and gee willikers, what's going on down here? I mean, I just love that whole thing. I thought it was so. And they're pulling a tooth, and when Dean would curse, we'd be like, watch your mouth, mister. You know, all that stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, they were great. And then just the whole style of it, like you really are watching a Christmas special. Yeah.
And then my third was the Ghostfacers, because it was such a departure from Supernatural as we know it. The style of it, the intersection of the two guys, seeing Sam and Dean in the Ghostfacers style of shooting was fascinating to me. I just thought it was super clever, super well done, super unique.
Absolutely. And, you know, something, the thing about Ghostfacers, too, is you almost have to, like, appreciate it in the time that it aired, because, like, we really hadn't seen that a ton. And here they were doing that, you know, really changing. Just that Supernatural would do this, that they'd go, let's completely throw the idea of a television show on its head and do something out of nowhere. So I agree with you about that. I stick to my top three, but...
But we have to give. Because we have to come up with three. I think you have to give me... I think you're going to have to find a home for Fresh Blood in your top three. It's a movie. It's so good. Here's what I think you should do. I think you should trade Justin Bellow for Fresh Blood.
I don't know.
I think that's a solid swap. Gordon owns that episode. The internal struggle he brings to the screen.
I'm going
to
pitch something. What about Fresh Blood for No Rest for the Wicked? No?
Yeah. I think we're trading gold coins, right? They're all great. But I feel like, yeah, I think you can go with that, because what else happened in that episode? I know the little girl who was
the little creepy girl. Really, the highlights were Lilith has this, you know, family hostage that she's, you know, and she's the whole block is now demons, right? And then at the end, the dogs come and rip Dean.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
I think you can make that trade. I think it's a fair trade.
Okay, so we've got...
So I'm marking through. No Rest for the Wicked is no longer a contender.
Right, and instead...
We have Fresh Blood.
Fresh Blood.
Mystery Spot and Justin Bellow. And, dude, all right, I feel like I'll give you one of these. I'll give you Mystery Spot.
Oh, really?
But...
Wow, shocker.
Well, no, here's why I'm not doing Justin Bellow. I think Justin Bellow is cool, it's clever, but it's not reinventing a wheel. The Christmas episode, so the three ones we have left that we're sort of talking about all have a unique style. Mystery Spot, Christmas episode, and Ghostfacers.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I have a hard time getting rid of Mystery Spot.
I get rid of Mystery Spot. I will get rid of Mystery Spot.
I feel like Mystery Spot and Justin Bellow are two classic episodes. I
like Justin Bellow.
I had to give you No Rest for the Wicked. I handed you Dean dying on a plate, which is not easy for me to do. Like,
but that's because of Sterling K. Brown's power.
Okay. So why can't that be our top three? Mystery Spot, Jib, and Fresh Blood.
It can. I don't think Jib is a top three one.
You don't remember. Don't. You loved that episode. Go back and listen to the podcast.
No, I love, but I'm loving all, I know that one. I remember it. It was like a play. It was like 12 Angry Men. It was like, they were stuck in the space. The guest stars were great.
Yeah.
Small town police station. Charlton Lee Evans Whitfield was great.
Yeah. You gave it a full beard.
It was great. But all these are full beards. These are literally all full beards. I'll give up Ghostfacers.
It's really hard.
And I'm only giving up Ghostfacers. Here's why I'm giving up Ghostfacers. Because it's not Sam and Dean heavy enough.
Yes.
It's really other characters.
What do you want? What do you want? Right now we've got Mystery Spot, Justin Bellow, Fresh Blood, and you want to get A Very Special Christmas in there.
No, I just want to have the conversation. I can see it. These are all very strong choices.
Can we make a top four?
No, let's do our job. I don't want our checks to bounce. You know what I mean?
All right. It's fine, man. In my heart.
In the spirit of honoring what Supernatural really is, because right now, Fresh Blood and Justin Bellow and Mystery Spot, the thing that's good about them is they all have a serious undertone. Right? Like, you know, even Mystery Spot, for its levity, what's being taught there is sort of like, you got to get your shit together. You got to make a choice. You know what I mean? Like, Sam, the trickster, is bringing some sort of, he has a point.
Yeah.
Whereas it's not just, there's a bigger mythology, it seems to be at play in that episode. Whereas Christmas is just about the Christmas one. So, to your point,
okay,
one could argue that these three are more important because they carry through larger stories.
If you give me Mystery Spot, Justin Bellow, Fresh Blood, I walk away happy. I'm good. We're good.
I can live with that.
Okay, great. You've heard it.
I can live with that. But I want you to know, I think Christmas should be an honorary mention. I thought it was really clever. Hey,
in your heart, that's going to be in your top three. In my heart, No Rest of the Wicked is still my top three. But you...
Well, I mean, you can't... that little girl doing her scenes is worth the price of admission, right? Yeah. Like, she was so good.
Yeah. And this is us together. So it doesn't reflect our own individual things. I think Ghostfacers gets an honorable mention, and I think Very Special Christmas gets an honorable mention.
A Very Special Christmas with
Lilith.
Hey, this is Jeffrey Dean Morgan. We are going to take a quick break.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, it's Jeffrey D. Morgan again. Welcome back to the podcast.
Okay, so here we go. This is the final tally in... Do we dare even try to order these in 1, 2, 3? Or are you just leaving this like they're just top three?
Man, I mean, I'm so exhausted.
Let me ask you this, just for the sake of conversation.
Yeah.
If you were going to 1, 2, 3 these, I know what I would do.
I think you do Fresh Blood Mystery Spot Jib.
Meaning like Fresh Blood number one, Mystery Spot number two, Jib number three?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think I would do Mystery Spot Jib Fresh Blood. But hey.
Close enough. Whatever. Close enough.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Our three favorite episodes. And we agree on these. And we will go down in the archives as having agreed on these. They are in no particular order. In fact, in alphabetical order. Fresh Blood.
Yeah.
Which was episode 307, Fresh Blood.
Yeah.
Keeping in the alphabetical order tradition, episode 312, Juice in Bello, or Juice in Bello, whatever, is one of our top three. And finally, Rob.
Mystery Spot, episode 311,
311, Mystery Spot. There we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Your questions have been answered. The debates can stop. The answers have been handed out. That's it. Case closed. Awesome. That was fun, man.
Another, that was fun.
You know, you forget how many... It's interesting because you think of it being a shorter season.
Yeah.
But man, no shortage of great episodes.
Really, really true. And let me, I just want to, I know we say it a lot. I just want to say again how impressed I am consistently with actors Jared Padalecki and Jensen Ackles. So many great moments that both of them had this season.
Oh, man.
So much emotional stuff with Jared as so Sam coming to terms with the fact that his brother's going to die.
Going to die, bud.
And then Jensen as Dean in denial about dying and then coming around about it. I mean, all that stuff, the emotional stuff between those two brothers is, you know, and yet, you know, and on a personal level, I know at this point, too, they're becoming best friends. You know, they're like living together in Vancouver. They're, you know, right. And it's showing on screen the love that they have for each other.
It's great. It's such a well done series, and they're the anchors, man. Rob's right, 100%. They continue to just bring it every episode, in spite whether they're going for a joke or going for the drama or the action, or the visual effects, special effects.
I mean, seriously, show me two other actors like this that can do the action, be badass, be total like. You know, macho male, but then at the same time can go totally sensitive. And
I know what you're thinking. I know who your runner-up duo is.
Me and you.
Joshua Jackson and James Vanderbeek. And you're wrong.
Right. No, and do the sensitive stuff drama, but then also do the comedy. Really, really funny. That is when Supernatural's at its best. You've got all three of those that packed in an episode.
Damn right you do.
Yeah. It's that. People always say Supernatural or Dawson's Creek.
They always say Winchester's or the beak.
The beak. The big beak. So that was our season three wrap up. Now, what do you think happens in season four, Rich?
I assume nothing. Dean's dead. The show's got to be over. They probably have a somber sort of round table at the beginning to say, we're sorry to do this to you, but there is no more show. Our main character is dead. And thank you for your viewership and your loyalty for these 3 years. And then we probably watch them just pull the part, set apart and wheel it out, and that's it.
Right. So it's either that, or they introduce the Angel Castiel, and you get to see for the first time the boys at play with something a little bit greater than just you know, demons and monsters of the week. And maybe, you know, the fact that you've got angels now in it, what does that mean? And who does that bring in? And, you
right.
know, so.
You gotta wonder.
And yeah, I mean, what else? What else do you think happens in season four, Rich?
I'll be interested to know if, because Dean's made this deal with the demon, right? Uh-huh. And that's not just going to go away. Even if he's rescued, he still has this deal lingering over him, you know, like to die, right? Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm assuming there's got to be some kind of dealing with that issue.
Also, what's up with Sam still having these kind of weird superpowers?
Right.
You know what I mean?
These guys, it's not like they're back to normal. They're not normal. There's still trouble afoot.
Yeah, and this whole bit with Sam, I never knew existed, and I don't know where that's going, but there's something special about Sam. He's got special abilities.
Yeah.
Are we going to see more of that?
I don't know, man. And so Dean has this thing lording over him, this deal he made with the demon, and demons just don't walk away from deals. Then you got Sam with his whatever he's born with going on. You know, it's not like he's suddenly not related to Yellow Eyes or whatever. Anyway, it's a lot going on. There's more to unravel here. You know what I'm saying? And what about, you know, I'm sure Dad will come through and do something, you know, go for the ghost phone or whatever. I don't know.
Ghost phone? Like there's the Dad ghost phone episode that everyone talks about. Also, I'm excited to see some fan favorites that I know they're in season four, including Yellow Fever, I think it's called.
How do you know all the titles of these episodes from season four?
Because I've read those, like, I always read the, like, fans' top 10 episodes or whatever, you know, Entertainment Weekly. And I've been doing conventions for 15 years. And
I know, but how do you know what season they're in?
Because I just know that it's, I've talked to people and I said, when is Yellow Fever? And people are like, oh, that's season four.
Wow, good for you.
I knew the Yellow Fever was early. So yeah, that's coming up. So that's exciting. And the word on the streets, a lot of people are talking about season four introduces us to a certain character named Chuck Shirley, a.k.a. Carver Edlund.
Ooh.
A lot of people are talking about that as a season four, you know.
A lot of people talking. Maybe this is where it gets great. Maybe, you know, that's what they're saying.
So
very exciting to see Robert Patrick Benedict enter the pantheon of wonderful characters that have colored the Supernatural universe in the first three seasons. That'll be fascinating. We'll have an event, probably some kind of potluck.
More than to celebrate that. I'm excited to hear your jokes about it. Like
my jokes.
You know, what kind of bit you're going to do? Are you going to go with the like?
You know what's going to throw you? Unlike you, I'm going to play it straight and talk about the episode and what I liked.
Okay. It's already fun.
I'm going to hold my breath like you or count to 12 or, you know, whatever.
Well, I'm excited because it'll be the first time you've seen my work, so it'll be fun, you know.
Well, these live streams are always fun.
So fun. Thanks to everybody who was in the room asking questions and chiming along with us. And thanks to all of you out there in listening land for lending us your ear. We're having such a good time rewatching this show and talking about it, and we can't wait to continue. We've got some great guests coming up, so can't wait.
Yeah, season four is going to be a humdinger, so join us, and let's all discover it together or rediscover it together. Your choice.
Oh, Steve.
What? Steve? You haven't been recording the podcast? Steve. Steve's got a cold.
Steve's got a cold, everybody. That was hilarious. Halfway through the podcast.
Well, that's all we have. And recording in
Okay.
Storybell Media.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.